Hebrews chapter 13. Now, I'm going to read verse 5 and 6, and I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible. It brings a whole lot out of it, and so, you know, notice here that in the King James Version, it talks about, you know, let your conversation be without covetousness. But let's look at the Amplified. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Now here, you know, the writer of Hebrews is trying to get it across to us. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be there with you. Now, you see, when we gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we came into covenant with Him. Now, covenant is something that's hard for us to understand here, really. But basically, all covenant is a contract. When you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you went into contract with Jesus. Amen. You know, if you're going to buy a house, you go to the bank and you come into covenant with that bank. You go into contract with that bank because they give you money and you sign a contract that you'll pay it back. Right? And it's kind of sort of like that. But the word covenant actually means to bind oneself by contract. So we bound ourselves to the Lord. Now, here's the thing about a covenant, though, is not only did we bind ourselves to the Lord, but the Lord bound Himself to us. Come on now. And see, one of the benefits of covenant has always been this, that usually a covenant is between a lesser and a greater. One is usually greater than the other. And it is always more beneficial for the lesser to be in covenant with the greater. Because you see, everything that the greater has, the lesser has once you come into covenant. Did you hear what I said? Well, I don't know if you really realize it or not, but we're the lesser when it comes to this covenant. And Jesus is the greater. But you see, what that means is now that I'm in contact with Him, now that I'm in contract, now that I'm in covenant now, I am bound to Him and everything that He has belongs to me. Well, what does He have? He has salvation. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, think about that. You couldn't get to heaven without that contract. You can't get to heaven without that covenant. But I got salvation. Guess what else I got? He's got healing, so I got healing. Come on now. See, I'm in covenant with Him. It's a contract. He's with me. He's living on the inside of me. Guess what? I got prosperity. I got well-being. I got abundant life. I've got everything Jesus has. It's mine because I'm in covenant with Him. I'm in Him and He's in me. Hallelujah. You see, and I think we tend sometimes to forget that He's in us all the time. That ought to scare us a little bit. Because I think sometimes we take Him some places that if we thought about the fact that He's with us all the time, we might not go in some of those places. We might not do some of those things that we do. We might not say some of those things that we say. And we might not act sometimes the way that we act. Come on now. You see, but when we start realizing that God is in us and He's in us, it starts, it starts to change things. You got to realize that God is omnipresent. That means that He's ever present. He's everywhere. You can't get away from God. Did you know that? That's what the psalmist said. Go with me to Psalm 139. Let's just read and see what he says here. David's telling him here in Psalm 139, look verse 7. He says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." See that? He says it doesn't matter. I can't get away from you. Look at verse 11. "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness as the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." David said, no matter where I go, I can't get away from you. You're there. And you've always been there. And you were there before I was ever formed. Can I just add a little modernization here? He's basically saying, you were there when I was just a thought in my mom and dad's mind. Right? Come on. So you got to realize God is always there. And when you realize that God is always there, it changes the dynamic. What are you talking about? It changes the dynamic. Well, see, when I know that He's with me, one can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So one, me, 1,000, but with Him in me, 10,000. See, you don't have to let the devil whip up on you. You don't have to let him win. The greater one's on the inside of you. He's living and having His abode in you. So He's there right with you all the time. See, a lot of times we're shaking and rattling, wringing our hands. What in the world are we going to do? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. How about asking the one on the inside of you? How about taking a little time and having a little conference with him? Because after all, you're in contract with him anyway. Come on. And He knows the end from the beginning from the end. Come on. You see, a lot of times we're trying to work it out by ourselves, but God says, I'm here. I sent my Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you, and He is a ever-present help in a time of need. The trouble is, a lot of times we don't call upon Him. Come on. We don't call upon Him like we should. We try to do it ourselves and forget that we've got God on the inside of us. And so, when we start realizing that God's in me, it makes you start thinking different. Amen. I never got in fear through this little process. Why? Because He's living on the inside of me. I trust Him. I had them sing that song again. We sung that Wednesday night. It was a great Wednesday night. It was great today. I had them sing it again because I do trust in God. I was sitting there in that hospital bed in a place that I really didn't want to be. Had no idea who they were going to call and talk to about trying to do something to me. And you know what I said? I said, God, I trust You. You are my healer. You are the great physician. So no matter what, all is well. Come on, see, I mean, when you realize He's really your God and lives on the inside of you. No wonder that little Shunammite woman could go to her husband and her son dead at the house and look at her husband and say, I need somebody to take me to the man of God. And him saying, is it all right? It's well. It's well. He's dead, but it's well. Why? Because she never for one moment ever doubted that the man of God would take care of that. Amen. See that? You've got to understand. If an Old Testament lady can believe in a man of God that much, how much more should you and I be able to trust the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of us? Praise God. He's brought us through so much. Come on now. When everybody was telling you were going to make it, God was saying, you'll make it. Come on now. The Word declares you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You see? And so we've got to get this mindset and understand the greater one's on the inside of me. The healer's on the inside of me. Anything I need and everything I need is in me through and by the Holy Ghost. And it's because of the finished works of Calvary. It's not because we're some great somebody. Come on, we were just sinners. But thank God for His grace. And He saved us. And when He saved us, we came into contract or covenant with Him. And now that greatness lives on the inside of us and makes you and I anointed sons and daughters of God, kings and priests unto Him. Now, we who were once no people, we who were once unworthy, now are His people. And we are worthy. Don't you ever let the devil tell you you are not worthy. Jesus Christ paid a great price so that you could live and have salvation and go to heaven someday. He paid a price for you. So don't you ever let the devil tell you you're not worthy. Come on. You've got to realize Jesus is in me. Jesus is in me. The greater one is on the inside of me. So I have Him. I have His protection. Go with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I'm going to read the daggone whole thing. Because it is all good. Okay? Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We could camp there a little while. He that dwelleth. Now you've got to understand there's a difference in paying a visit and dwelling somewhere. Come on. God wants us dwelling. Come on now. That means He's ever present on our mind. That don't mean you can't go to work and can't function like you're supposed to. It just means you know the reason you're going to work and function is because of Him. I dwell in that secret place. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I said His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know what that means? That shield and buckler, that's for defense. His truth, when the devil starts slinging stuff at you, the truth of the Word of God will cause it to glance off of you. Did you hear me? It can't get to you because of the truth of the Word of God. It can be a fact, but the truth overrides a fact. Did you hear me? I got to say this. You just have to forgive me a little bit because I know what God's done for me.
Hallelujah.
Truth versus fact. It was a fact. When I went up there, I was supposed to be going to get me some fluid because I was dehydrated and my blood pressure was low. When the doctor came in, he said, you having any chest pains? Nope. You sure you're not having chest pains? Nope. Why? Your heart enzymes are elevated. How do you know that? Well, they took a blood sample before they started giving you your fluids. I said, how elevated they are they? He said, I ain't never seen them that high before. He said, we think that the lab may have messed up because they can make a mistake and stuff. We're going to test you again just to check you out. And he said, I said, well, exactly how high? And he said, they're 15,000, supposed to be on way on down there in the low thousands. And so they go and do the blood test again, and then they come back again. He said, got your results back. And I said, and? He said, now they're 17,000. They said, you've had a heart attack. I said, if I've had a heart attack, I don't know it. He said, I'm talking about the goodness of God here, church. I'm not talking about me. This ain't about me. This ain't about me. It's about Him. You see, the fact was that doctor knew what he was talking about. He had proof. But the truth is, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm working all things together for good. You understand what I'm saying here? God knew what He was doing. He just had to get this big thick head somewhere where He could take care of me. But all through it, He was there and He took care of me. I never knew anything happened when I went up there. Never knew anything had happened after I come out. But you see, that's the way God does. He renews your youth like the eagles. Amen. So His truth is my shield and it's my buckler. It's my protection. The truth of the Word of God works no matter what the devil wants. No matter what he tries. Okay? All right, let me find out where I'm at here. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the God we're serving right there. Amen. And we got to remember that He's in us. That's the God we serve. He says, He'll call upon me and I'll answer. He'll call upon me and I'll answer. Notice that. And then He says, not only that, but with long life, I'm going to satisfy Him. See, I trust God, don't you? Come on now. In another psalm, David said in Psalm 34, he said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? See, you've got to understand, when you're singing that song, you're singing Scripture. Come on now. What better way to glorify God than to sing His Scripture? I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Hallelujah. He says, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He delivered me from my fears. They look unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Not just some of them, but all of his troubles. Notice that. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Anybody in here tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Blessed is the man. Blessed. That's the reason I speak over you all the time. When I pray over you, I tell you that you're blessed because you trust in the Lord. You're not only blessed, but you are a blessing. Hallelujah. To trust in the Lord. In Daniel chapter 3, and that's kind of where the song goes, and it's just, I just got to reiterate it. I talked a little bit Wednesday night about it just briefly. But in Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to just kind of paraphrase through because I want you to just get what God does. You have the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been promoted because of God's favor, and they're in King Nebuchadnezzar's leadership because God showed him through Daniel how smart and intelligent and how God had blessed them. So by blessing them, it was blessing Nebuchadnezzar. So he put them in some charge over some things. But Nebuchadnezzar got high on his horse, and he decided to build him a big statue, golden statue of himself. And then he called all of his leadership together and said, listen, you know, when you start hearing the music play, I want you all to bow down and worship my gods and worship the image. So they play the music. Everybody bows down and begins to worship and praise except for three guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so some of the folks there that was already mad at him and jealous of him because they had been promoted and they were, you know, these Hebrews over here. They went to the king and said, King, didn't you say that anybody that didn't bow down to your image when the music played, you'd throw them in the fiery furnace? And he said, that's exactly what I said. And they said, well, there's three of them that's not. There's three guys out there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They won't bow down to your image. And it made him mad, you know. And he said, get them, brought them in here. And so they bring them in there. And he said, I've heard that you guys are not bowing down to my image. Maybe you've just made a mistake, and so I'm going to give you another opportunity. I'm going to let them play the music again and give you an opportunity to bow down and worship my gods and my golden image. And he said, if you do that, then everything's good. We're all good. We're square. But if you don't, who is the God that can save you out of my hands? Wrong thing to say, King Nebuchadnezzar. And they looked at him and said, well, we're not careful to answer you on this at all. You talk about trusting God. I'm talking about knowing He's with you. And these guys now are not New Testament with the Holy Ghost living inside them. They're Old Testament. But they can still trust the same God. They said, we're not slow to answer on this thing. Whether our God delivered us or not from your fiery furnace, we are not going to bow down and worship your gods or your image because we only worship our God. Now you think about that. Made the king so mad, the Bible says that his visage changed. In other words, he just apparently just about went crazy. And he commanded that they heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than what it already was. And he had them bound up in their clothes and everything. Bound them all up. And he had his strongest men take them out to throw them in the furnace. And the Bible says that while they were throwing them in the furnace, that the flames came out and killed all of those mighty men. And the king was so astonished that he jumped up and he runs over and he looks around at his leadership and he says, Didn't we throw three men in the furnace bound up? They said, oh, king of a truth, that's what we did. And he said, I see 4 men loosed and walking around, and one looks like the Son of God. Come on. And he said, come on out of there, boys. And the Bible says they came out of the furnace, out of the flame. And when they got out of the flame, their clothes weren't even stenched with the smell of fire. You see, Jesus was that fourth man in the fire. He's been your fourth man many times and you didn't know it. He was there with you when you didn't have a clue. He's in there walking around in the... Would you have liked to have heard the conversation? Wow. Can you just imagine the conversation? They're in a fiery furnace that killed people from the outside. They're in it. And the flame has no effect on them. See, he says, there's something there you've got to understand. When Jesus is with you, what kills somebody else? What kills somebody else don't have an effect on you. Come on, you better get a hold of that. That's a rhema word right there. Why? Because I know He's with me. He is my protector. They came out of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looks around and he just says, I'm making a decree right now. Nobody better not say one word about their God. If you do, you're going to be chopped into pieces. And I mean, he just goes on to this whole thing. Because today we know that their God is God. Church, if we would start acting like our God is God. Quit acting like you know that politicians are gods. Come on, that the government's gods. And they can say, listen, only thing can save America is people that'll get down on their knees and begin to pray and call upon the God than whom no furnace has an effect on. Come on. The one that sets up and puts down. If my people, which are called by my name, see, realizing that He's in us, the greater... We can read His Bible and see what His will is. And so it's up to us now to take that and pray that will over our nation, over our neighbors, over our families. Why? Because the same God that delivered those three Hebrew boys will deliver us. Deliver our family. Come on, deliver our addicts. Come on now. Heal our bodies. Take care of our finances. Come on. Same God. He is our fourth man. He's the one that's there. He's the one taking care of business for us. But we need to acknowledge Him and know that. That's the God we serve. And the more we realize, the more it changes things for us. Now, you understand that the enemy, he'll do everything he can to try to bring you down. He'll try to do everything he can to bring you down. And he'll try to get you messed up, try to get you depressed. But you've got to remember that God is right there with you. Even David, who wrote Psalm 91, and all he also wrote this in Psalm 42, verse 11. He says, "Why art thou down, or why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" Now, he's talking to himself. Anybody in here besides me, talk to yourself. Amen. Yeah, sometimes you've got to talk to yourself because you need to have intelligent conversation. Right? And of course, sometimes you talk to yourself because you're crazy. Either way, you know, it may be a little of both. But he's talking to himself here and he says, you know, why am I feeling like this? Why am I not at peace? What's going on with me? I'm having one of those down times. My pastor says he doesn't have down times. He says I have up times and getting up times. Right? I'm all right with that too. Praise God. But then he goes on and he says in this psalm, if you look at it, he says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." See, he takes a moment here. He does get a little discouraged. He begins to look at himself, but he says, wait, ho, why am I like this? My hope is in God. I'm going to just go ahead and praise Him because He is my health. He is everything that I need. You see, and so when you find yourself maybe getting to that place to where you're kind of trying to creep into that depression. Come on, the devil loves for you to be depressed. He loves to oppress you. He loves to pressure you. He tries to get you disquieted. That's what David said. You know, what am I disquieted about? And he said, hope in God. I need to praise Him because He's the health of my countenance. And she, you can't forget that. Stephanie said it there when she was talking a few minutes ago. Sometimes your praise will be from a place of disquietedness. Amen. Dad Hagin used to do that a lot of time, talk about, you know, the laughing. He'd say, sometimes all you can do is just laugh. And he'd go, ha, ha, ha. It's like that. Ha, ha, ha. You know, I mean, you'd just dry as it could be. But I tell you what, before he got through ha, 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 that whole place would be just hysterically laughing. Why? Because he knew if he could get them to start thinking about the laugh, start thinking about the praise, start thinking about how good God was, then if whatever had them disquieted, it would have to disappear. See, sometimes you may start out, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's okay to start out that way, but don't let it stay that way. You've got to, sooner or later, you've got to get a hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe high flag for a little while, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then after a while, you, thank you, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Holy Ghost starts kicking in now, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And first thing you know, you may be doing a little two-step, just jumping up and down, praising God and worshiping God. May take a lap or two around the sanctuary somewhere. Come on now. You see, that's not being disquieted. That's not letting the devil win. You've decided, you know what? Praise is a whole lot better than depression. Come on now. Joy is a lot better than sadness. Come on. Healing's a lot better than sickness. Prosperity is a lot better than being busted and broke. Come on now. So it's choices that we make because He's in us. And there's not any reason for us not to be walking in what He says we can have because we're in contract, in covenant with Him. We just got to make up our mind. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to let Him be first in my life. I'm going to keep Him close to me. I want the praise team to get ready to come on back up. Okay? I'm going to read Psalm 103. Let me just show you something here. Okay? Psalm 103. We're talking about, he said, I'm going to praise Him yet. Well, look at Psalm 103. This is a Psalm of David also. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Notice not a half bless. Not just a half-heartedly bless. Sometimes, I think Rachel kind of alluded to it. Maybe she said it. I don't know. I was praising and worshiping. When you're expecting something from God, you don't give God a half praise. Did you hear me? Come on now. You don't just half-heartedly go at it. When you need some, I wouldn't half-heartedly saying, God, I know You're my healer. You're my physician. I'm in it from the very bottom of my being with all that was in me. See, when we bless the Lord, we need to do it from deep inside. Sometimes we in our humanity, we're worried about what people think. And we're just like, well, I don't know. That's just, you know. And I got a confession to make Wednesday night. I told Pastor Ed this, and I was mad at myself, and God kind of whipped me about it. But, you know, he has to forgive me because I asked Him to. But He told me, because they were singing these songs, and He was just eating me up with the blessing. And He told me, He said, just get right out there and just start dancing. Come on. Lord, I just got out of the hospital. You know, and see, here's the thing. He didn't. I could see it. He wanted it wasn't one of these, you know, Pentecostal two steps. He said, I want you to get out. And he said, I want you to just dance. And I could see me going around the sanctuary here just dancing. But I never did leave there. being obedient to Him. Praising Him with everything that's in you. With all that's within me. Bless the Lord. So He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." All His benefits, not just some of His benefits. Well, what are some of them? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Your sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? No matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, it's the past. He's the God of now. "Who healeth all thy diseases." I said it Wednesday night and I'll say it again tonight. Notice it says healeth all thy diseases. Dan and I had a little discussion about this morning. God did not prevent me from getting blockages. He didn't prevent me from getting blockages. But for 63 years, He didn't prevent me from eating whatever Mike wanted to. See, because every disease, He healeth thee of thy diseases. Most of the diseases we have, we brought on ourselves. We like to blame the devil, but the devil don't cram food down your throat. Now, he may tempt you with it, but you don't have to take it. Come on now. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. We'd rather blame the devil, right? No, He heals all thy diseases, though. Thank God for that. He looks at us and He says, "Yeah, you messed yourself up, but guess what? I'm here with healing in my wings. I sent my word to heal you and deliver you from all your diseases." Hallelujah. He goes on and says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." I believe the devil had destruction in plan for me, but he redeemed my life from destruction. Come on. He's redeemed some of your all's life from destruction because that's just who He is. "He redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." Now I want you to stand to your feet with me. We're going to once again let the praise team sing, "I sought the Lord." Yeah. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. If you're here this morning and there's something you need to seek the Lord about, I want to give you don't be a pastor and sit back here when God's saying, "Come out and do something for me." If He's telling you to, I want you to step out from where you're at. And I want you to come up here and get in this altar. And I want you to He said, "I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered." I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. God hears and answers. But you have to first seek the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, this morning that every ban will be broken. Every burden broken. I thank You this morning, Father God, as the people come and seek You. We know that You answer. And we know that You heal and deliver. That's why we trust You, Lord. That's why we trust You. So You just mind the Lord. And we're going to sing this.
"I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him."
What is it you need?